About 16 verses here, beginning at verse number 1 for the service. This is my scripture for you in the background of this message. Has to do with the great prophet Elijah, great man of God. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 1, and right down through verse 16. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights under Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Amblehola, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Our Father, we thank you tonight because that we feel that you're present with us at this moment. And like Moses of old, may we say, if the Lord go not with us, and if his presence will not go before us, then Lord, we will not go. But Lord, we know tonight, thank God that you've given us direction, and therefore we follow that direction. May the spirit of grace and power and of anointing rest upon this congregation tonight as they worship the Lord for the next few minutes in the preaching of the word, and given to us the strength we need. In Jesus' name, amen. May I speak to you from this scripture. This sitting gives to you one beautiful story of one of the great giants of God in the past and what he had accomplished in the 18th chapter in bringing back the children of Israel to the realization of their need in God, rebuilding the altars of God, calling the fire from heaven down in their presence, and then them bowing before God, falling prostrate upon their face, saying, "The Lord God is God, and Him will we serve." Strength for your weakest hour, following this tremendous victory that had been accomplished over the past 3 years in the life of this great prophet of God, we look at him and find it is true. And what the writer of the New Testament tells us, that Elijah was a man of like passion, like you and I. And so tonight we can take heart. For in this great hour in which you and I are living, we need strength to live for God. This word here, the word strengthen, means power. And God gave Elijah strength in his weakest hour. This journey that you and I as Christians must make is too great for us to make within ourselves. We must have God's help. And in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me." And I feel tonight that we need this strength. And for a few moments, let us look at what happened in the life of Elijah. Maybe we might look, as we do, at our own life and see where we are weak and where God can strengthen us. Elijah was a man of prayer. God heard his prayer. And it is recorded in the Word of God that God heard his prayers. And we know the story that when he told Ahab, "I'm going to pray and God's going to shut up the heavens, and there shall not be a drop of rain." Not a drop of rain fell. We know when he prayed at the altar. We know when the altar had passed that he prayed, and the fire of God fell from heaven in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and verse 38. And to be a man of prayer like Elijah was, it wasn't a long prayer that he prayed. If you look at that 38th verse, "Then the fire of the Lord fell. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." That was his prayer. And in answer to that prayer, that quick, God answered that prayer. But in order to be able to do this, we have to be praying all of the time. We've got to be in contact with God. You can't just go on for days and weeks and months without communing with God and then walk out and say, "Hear me, O God, hear me," like Elijah did. But all of the time that he sat at this brook and drank of the brook and eat of the meat and over in the widow's house and so forth, this man was in communication with God. Oh, friend, and if we're weak tonight, it is because we don't have the proper communication with God. We haven't reached that place yet in God. He prayed the fire down from heaven. If you'll notice in 1 Kings in the 18th chapter and verse number 22, it said there was 450 of these false prophets on the mountain. He stood in the presence of them without any fear. Why? Because he was a man that knew how to pray. And here he had destroyed this 450 false prophets as they stood at the altar of God. But looking at Israel's spiritual weakness, Elijah became weak. And this is exactly what happens to you and I as Christians when we begin to take our eyes off of the cross, when we begin to take our eyes off of the ultimate goal, when we look at someone around us. And the most disheartening thing to a Christian is to see people quit serving God. Men and women in whom men and women have had confidence, whom they have watched, their lives, their influence. And then when they see that individual quit serving God, it is a disheartening factor that comes. And Elijah looked at the children of Israel. He remembered what they had done in the past for God. He remembered how they had worshiped God. And now Israel have broken her vows, and Israel have turned from the altar of God. And it's a sad day when you and I turn from the altar of God. Oh, somehow may God burden our hearts to return to the altar. For it is there we have communication with God. It's there, and an altar is more than just these boards covered with a carpet in the front of some church. It is the place where man comes face to face with God. It's where man talks to God and where God talks to man. It's where man settles his problems. And here they had forsaken this altar, had went back and had erected the altar to Baal. And this thing is happening in the lives of many today. And because it's happening, we look at these situations, and when we look at them, we begin to lose the vision. We begin to lose some of the strength, and we begin to become weak in the Lord. But may God strengthen us. They had forsaken the Lord God, and it went back to the same type and kind of worship, which happens in the lives of men and women today. As soon as they begin to get weak, they turn back to the very things in which they were once cleansed from. The things that were sin to them no longer seem to be sin anymore. And they're able to walk brazen and bold and before the throne of grace without any fear, it seems, and continue to participate in these things. But let me tell you, when a man comes to the altar, and when the fire of God is setting up on that altar, and man begins to commune with God at that altar, those things that are sinful and not needful in the life of men and women begin to take on the significance that they once had when we were convicted and came before God and cried, said, "Oh God, I can't do anything about it. Will you remove this burden? Will you take that sin of guilt from off of my life?" I want you to look further with me. This great man of prayer, as he looked out and then looking at Israel's spiritual weakness, he became weak as he looked at them. And then came the threat of Jezebel. And she wrote to him, as I read to you, and said, "God, do so and more also to me if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time." Now you remember, on this mountain, while the shout and the glory of God was coming down, he had said, "Destroy them." 450 of these false prophets had died as the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people and God's altar. And so Jezebel sent to him, said, "That's all right, but about this time tomorrow, I'll cause you to be sleeping with them." And in this weakness of his hour, you said, "Well, preacher, he shouldn't have been weak. He was a great man. He was a strong man." Yet I think God has given this to us to show you and I that we're just as much human as Elijah is human, and that a weakness can come in every one of our lives. And when the prayer chain and the prayer life and the Word of God has gone from our lives, and the threat begins to come from the enemy, whether it comes from Jezebel or whoever, my friend, then we begin to act as even Elijah acts. So Elijah come to one conclusion in the reading of this text that I gave to you, and he looked out and he said, "Well, everybody is backslidden, and Jezebel's going to slay me. I am the only one that's living for God. There's no use, God. I've come far enough. I've gone as far as I can go. Oh God, let me die, because nobody else is trying to do anything for God. Nobody else is trying to live for God. Everybody else has gone back. Everybody has turned away." This is what the enemy would like for the church to take today. They'd like to give this to you and me and said it's an impossibility. And my friend, it's not only hitting just in the world, it's hitting in the church, and it's hitting the ministry, it's hitting our headquarters, every place else. We're looking at these kind of things. And when one time we didn't fear man, we didn't fear the devil, we feared just to walk before God and dared to trust him and launch out, thank God, and do the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. Will you think with me for this? Elijah said, "I'm the only one. Just let me die." But God didn't answer that prayer, though he was a man of prayer. I don't know how many times maybe you have prayed prayers that God didn't answer for you. I know I prayed a lot of them that he hasn't answered for me. I know there's been a lot of times when I've been discouraged and disheartened, and I've been sick, and I've come in and I've fell in the bed and pull the cover up over my head, put my face in that pillow, and I've wept until the wee hours of the morning, and I said, God, it's just not worth it. You try to do the very best you can, and then this is what you get for it. God, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to write the Shell Oil Company that give me a standing invitation that any time I wanted to return to their employment, they was ready for me to return. I'm going to write them and tell them I'm now ready to return if they've got a rig, and I'll start boring holes in the ground and bringing out petroleum again so people can... I'm not going to do this. And somehow between that time and the breaking of day, God would come and move upon the scene. And I'd repent and said, God, really, I didn't mean it. And I could see this prophet Elijah saying, God, really, I didn't want to die. I really, God, I just didn't really mean this. It may have never happened to you, but it's happened to me. It's happened to me a lot of times. And I want you to see this picture. These are the conditions that are existing today in the lives of Christians that I meet everywhere, in the lives of a lot of ministers that I meet everywhere. And I said, God, I'm not going to do it. And then somehow the Lord came. God came to Elijah. Elijah heard from heaven. Oh, yes, sir. Elijah heard from God. If you'll notice what I read to you further. And God said, there he sits. Look at him. Under the juniper tree. He's crying and he's asking to die. He said to this angel, he said, angel, I have a little chore for you to do. He said, will you please get a little of the bread of heaven and take it down where he's sitting under that juniper tree? Can you see that great angel of God doing the bidding of God, the cherubims and the seraphims and the glory of God, as he takes the bread? This is what the Bible says. And he leaves the ivory palaces of glory, and he comes down and he shakes him, and he's sitting under this juniper tree in this stupor of weakness and struggling, and strength is gone from him, and he shakes him, and he said, what's the matter with you? Wake up here. And Elijah wakes up and startled, and here is an angel from God, and he said, here, take this and eat it. You need it, because the journey in which you're traveling is just too great for you. Oh, I've thought of this so many times this week as I've battled with the Lord this week. I've thought of it so many times. The journey is too great, and we get to the place to where we depend upon ourselves. We get to the place to where we try to do it physically. Now, don't say, well, now I'm not. I know too, my friend. And if the ministry many times comes to the place that it tries to do it on its own, on the flesh, on the physical, and it don't reach the spot in the heart of man. It has to come from God, and we've got to realize it. And here God was making Elijah. Listen, who are you, Elijah? I only am the only one that's living for God. Get up from there. It's not so. Take this bread. You need to eat this bread. You need strength. And God is saying to the church today, you need strength for the journey. For the journey it's in front of you is too great for you. You can't do it yourself. You just can't make it. Look at this. And then perhaps God said to this angel, he's pretty thirsty, and you better take him a little cruise of water. And so he shakes him again and says, wake up. And he wakes up, and here stands the angel of the Lord with a cruise of water in his hand, and said, take and drink. Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. Hear me tonight, friend. God was not ready for Elijah to die. The time had not come for Elijah to die. I thought of this. I've been in that hospital four times. I've been under that oxygen tent four times. They've been sticking me with so many needles in my head going around until I didn't even know I was in a whirl for a solid week almost. My friend, four times I've prayed, God, this is enough. Let me die. God, just take me on. Just take me on. But somehow, I don't know, God just wasn't ready to answer that prayer. He wasn't ready for Elijah to die. He wasn't ready to take him home. You know why he wasn't? God said to him, Elijah, the reason I'm not ready for you to die is I want you to touch somebody. And I wept last night when I thought of what God was saying and answered to my prayers and the conditions that had been. And I wept because God said, I want you to touch somebody. Oh, friend. And it wasn't long, my friend, till that somebody came. And until the wee hours of I was there working and praying. Thank God that I was able to touch him, tears streaming. And he got up and he said, look, he said, you'll never know this side of eternity what you've done for me tonight. Oh, God said, get up, Elijah. I want you to touch somebody. I want you to go down and find old Hazael and anoint him king over Syria. I'm not quite finished with you. You've got to have a little more strength. Oh, I'm not ready for you to die. And when you get through with that, said, pass on over and anoint Jehu. I've got a job for him to do. Praise God. I want you to anoint him to be the king of Israel. And then I want you to anoint your successor. You'll find old Elisha out there in the field plowing, and just take the oil and pour a little oil on him and go on your way. You know that story? I wouldn't have time. Elijah did it and passed by. As he passed by, old Elisha said, whoa, or whatever you said to those oxen. And he looked around and Elijah was going down the road. My friend, he took after him. He said, wait a minute, what have you done to me? Let me tell you, Christian, when you know God, when you know how to pray, and when God wants you to touch somebody, my friend, you can touch them and they'll know that something has happened. Elisha said, something has taken place. Elijah said, well, I'm not bothering you. Going about your plow, going back to your farming. He went back. He took those oxen to the end of the row. He piled that plow up and made him an altar and killed that oxen he was plowing with and made a burnt offering and a sacrifice unto God. There's somebody that you and I can touch, my friend. There's somebody that needs my touch and needs your touch. We depend upon the preacher today to do it all, but God is going to send a revival back to the church when men and women will be anointed with the Holy Ghost, and they'll go across the street somewhere and they'll touch somebody for God, as it was in the days gone by in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. God is going to send, he said, in these last days. And if we've ever lived in the last days, surely we're there now, that he pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And let me tell you, my friend, the man that you can touch, I can never touch. And the woman that you can touch, I can never touch. But God wants you to touch somebody. And there is somebody, if you know God tonight, that you can touch and you can influence. And that person will know that something has happened in their life. And when this takes place, a revival is well on its way. Glory to God. Elijah did arise, and Elijah did eat, and he went in the strength of that meat and that water for 40 days. He ate that bread that came down from heaven. He drank that cruise of water, and I feel tonight that you and I need to drink that cruise of water. We need a fresh drink out of that cruise of water tonight. What are you talking about, Pastor? In John 7, 38 and 39, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, oh, my heart breaks within me when I think that we saw, oh, if I could have revival, if I could just do this, and if I could just do so. But my friend, Jesus plainly says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his innermost belly, or out of his innermost being, or out of his belly, shall flow rivers of living water. For thus spake he of the Spirit. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But my friend, tonight Jesus is glorified. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, saying, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. But you know him, for he shall be with you, and he shall be in you. Oh, tonight, the need of having God in us, the need tonight, my friend, of knowing the same God that gives strength in the weakest hour. I don't know how you are, if you're weak tonight or not, but I confess to you that I have been weak, and I need strength from God, and I need to eat of this bread, and I need to drink of this water, because God has somebody somewhere that he wants me to touch. Amen. God has somebody somewhere that he wants you to touch. And are we willing to do it tonight? This is the question. Oh, the whole world, they're running everywhere, to and fro, seeking, searching, trying to find. But my friend, you'll only find it at the foot of the cross as you begin to drink of that river of life that's flowing from the throne of God tonight. Glory to God. I know. You say, it's hard, Pastor. You just don't know. Listen, friend, it's always been hard. It's never been easy since the devil made the first deception in the Garden of Eden, and it's not going to get any easier. But oh, thank God, the Spirit of the Lord knows no barriers. The Spirit of the Lord, thank God, is not shut out by any curtains. The Spirit of the Lord, and would God somehow bring us back to the day when we was full of faith enough to just trust God and say, by the grace of God, I walk out. I remember the day when I said, this is enough, to the Shell Oil Company. I said, look, my vacation is here. I'm taking my vacation, but I'll not be back when the vacation is over. They said, oh, you can't do that. I said, oh, yes, I'm doing it right now. What are you doing? I said, my suitcases I'm putting in my car. And I have one revival meeting. One preacher wrote me and said, would you come home in revival? I said, I'll be there. And that's all I had. And that's all I needed. Thank God. I didn't have anything else, and I didn't care about anything else. And I would God, friend, that we can come to that point in our lives today. Oh, this is victorious living. When men and women get their eyes off of the materialistic things of this life, off of the materialistic things of this world, and begin to walk hand in hand with Jesus. Glory to God. I know what it is to walk with God day in and day out and never work a day, never even make 10 cents, not even one thin dime. And yet I eat three times a day and lived and shouted and sang. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, friend, listen. And this is what God is trying to do with us right now. And this is what he had to do with his prophet to bring him back. He had to feed him. And God wants to feed you tonight. God wants to anoint you tonight. And God wants you, and he wants me to drink tonight. Glory to God. Of that fountain. On this journey here below, we meet with pain and loss. Sometimes there is a crown of thorns, sometimes a heavy cross. My friend, when we're inside the gates of pearl, we'll have everything. Hallelujah. But brother, it's going to be a battle and a fight until we're there. Amen. But oh, thank God for the victory that I feel flowing in my soul tonight. Glory to God. Thank God for the victory. I can hear the rumble and the shout of victory. Glory to God. These old seats are going to echo and shake and feel as if they move when men and women come to the place that they're not ashamed to let the Spirit of God deal with their heart. Hallelujah. And eat of the bread of God and drink of the water of God until we are able to touch men and women for God. Father, lead us to that place tonight that you led Elijah. Strength for the weakest hour. Oh, strength, God, we need tonight. We can't do within ourselves. Lord, if I could, I'd save every man in this world. And if I could, I'd baptize every one of them. If I could, I'd heal every one of them that's sick. But my God, I can't do it tonight. All I can be is like old Elijah, just the channel. That's all. Thank God, but I offer myself to you tonight, Lord, again, afresh at this altar. Glory to God, that I may eat and drink, that I might be able to touch somebody for the glory of God. Somewhere they need a touch, Lord, from your gracious hand. And oh, Jesus, tonight you must help us. Thank God, before we're able to help them. And this, we've come in this prayer meeting tonight, to those of you, Lord, that are struggling and searching and feeling and trying to find. Oh, Jesus, tonight, may you come and reveal yourself unto that soul tonight. And let God's glorious grace fill them with all of the fullness of God.